The Way of Forgiveness, Sunday morning sermon, May the 23rd, 2010, Town Creek, Alabama. Today, I want us to consider how Jesus is the way of forgiveness. When Jesus taught how to pray, he stressed the need to forgive. Time and time again, by precept and by example, Jesus taught forgiveness. Now, what does it really mean to forgive? Well, the Greek word here is aphemai. It literally means to send away, to give up, or to keep no longer. So, you might say, as Webster defines it, it is to give up resentment against or the desire to punish someone or something, to stop being angry with that particularity, or to pardon completely of any wrongdoing. So let's look more closely at why the way of Christ is the way of forgiveness. First, as it was taught by Jesus by precept. That is, precept is a teaching or a doctrine that's actually meant to be a commanded action. We see Jesus teaching it in his sayings. Again, in his teaching on prayer. If we look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, Matthew records Jesus as saying this: "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And in the sister passage in Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26, Mark records Jesus as saying, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So, Jesus taught with regard to prayer that we should forgive others before we even consider asking forgiveness for ourselves. We need to forgive others. We see that Jesus taught this in instructing his disciples as well. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 22. We see it tells us there that Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times," which was the law, which was accepted under the law of Moses. In verse 22, Jesus said to him, "I say not unto thee until seven times." In other words, no, not just seven times, but until 70 times seven, 490 times. If we take Luke's account, that may only be in a day. If we look at what Luke has to say about it, Luke 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus is recorded as saying, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So the 490 times may be considered how many times we should forgive people a day. We see in the parable of the unforgiving servant, this example of forgiveness is taught as being really, really necessary to our own forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 23, let's read from Matthew. Jesus is recorded there by Matthew as saying, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." He would look at what the servants owed him. verse 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him unto him, said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. It can be seen from just looking at a few of the Lord's teachings, this parable of the unforgiving servant or the wicked servant, the Lord's instruction to his disciples, his teaching with regard to prayer, how important, or shall I say, how the Lord stressed the importance of forgiveness. That if we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive as well. That we ourselves are dependent on that very self-same thing. That as the Lord has forgiven us, we should also forgive others their trespasses against us. We see Paul teaching this same principle in his epistles, the epistle to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 4, verse 32. Paul said, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. His letter to the church at Colossus, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, he said, Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we can see, and Jesus' teaching is carried over in the letters which Paul wrote. For those forgiven or seeking forgiveness, forgiving others is an absolute necessity. We see that Jesus taught this by example when he was being crucified. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These men had nailed him to the cross, hung him up to die. These men had beaten him within inches of living at that point in time. Now they're on the ground. I picture them being on the ground just beneath his cross or somewhere nearby the cross, casting lots for his garments. As he watched, he said, he didn't feel rage or anger. I wholly think that all it would have taken is a word from Jesus, Father, destroy them. And fire would have come down out of heaven, just like it did in the Old Testament, in the time of Elijah, in 1 Kings 18, when he poured all that water on the altar. Remember that story? That fire came down out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice on the altar and licked up the water from the trench. I believe if Jesus really wanted to, He could have called fire down from heaven. Or like the old song says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he didn't. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In calling on God to forgive those people, Jesus showed his willingness to forgive them too. How about Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60? It's a good example too. Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge or charge them with this sin. Stephen very well could have done the same thing. He could have cried out for the Lord to destroy his tormentors. But he didn't. In calling on Jesus to forgive, Stephen showed his willingness to forgive also. Our Lord and the first martyr of the church exemplify the spirit of forgiveness. So the way of Christ is the way of forgiveness. But forgiving others, well, it's just not necessarily human nature. To err is human, but to forgive divine. Alexander Pope said that. How can we be partakers of this divine nature? That's a good question. How can we be better at the practice of forgiveness? Well, first we have to develop it. That's right. We must develop forgiveness. It helps to remember why we must forgive. Big motivation here. Huge motivation here. If we want to be forgiven by God, then we must forgive others. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. I mean, the unforgiven person, just like the wicked servant in Matthew 18, verse 35, will be punished without mercy. James says in James 2 and verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Big motivation here. If we want to be forgiven, we better have mercy. If we want to have mercy on ourselves, then we better forgive. The two go hand in hand. You see, human beings, a lot of the time, not all the time, a good majority and percentage of the time, human beings want vengeance. They like to have vengeance on somebody that does wrong to them. But the Bible says vengeance belongs to God, not to us. Our duty is to show mercy. There are folks who argue, say, we're supposed to be imitators of God. We'll get to that point in a minute. And it's not like you think it is. I'll guarantee you, if you're thinking along those lines, it won't be like you think it is. But Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It helps to remember why we must forgive. Two things. If we want mercy, we better show mercy. And vengeance belongs to God. And it helps to remember as we try to forgive, sins against us pale in comparison to sins against God. You see that in the parable of the wicked servant, Matthew 18. And we're to follow the example of Christ. You know, those that injure us need sympathy and love, and we owe it to them. You know, Paul says in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. In other words, if you're going to owe anything to anybody, you feel like you need to repay somebody, give them due recompense for something, it should be to love them. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What law? The law of Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. That you should love one another, and all that way all men will know you're my disciples. It's a new commandment I give you, Jesus said. And there are also practical reasons to forgive. I mean, the one that gets me is that if I want to be forgiven, I better forgive. Vengeance belongs to God. God's going to get them. He'll repay them. You see Paul saying that over and over, that the Lord reward them according to their works. He says it many times over. Alexander and Hymenaeus and several other individuals. Paul alludes to it in his epistles, that the Lord reward them according to their works. The Lord repay them according to vengeance belongs to God. Those two are enough for me. But there are also practical reasons to forgive, which are clinically proven. You can actually go to the Mayo Clinic's website and look at some of the information on psychological tests and psychological findings. And you'll see that if you can forgive people when they've done you wrong, you're going to have healthier relationships with people. You're going to have greater spiritual and psychological well-being. You have less stress and hostility in your life. You actually have lower blood pressure. You'll have fewer symptoms of depression if you suffer from those types of things, anxiety, chronic pain. And you'll have a lower risk of substance abuse, alcohol and drug abuse. Those are good reasons too, aren't they? I mean, again, for me, the main one is I want to be forgiven. So I better forgive. If I want mercy, I better show some mercy. It's hard to do because we want vengeance. Vengeance belongs to God. But there are also some other good things physically to have, again, healthy relationships, spiritual and psychological well-being, less stress, less hostility, lower blood pressure, all these things. A lot of good reasons, aren't they? Really, really good reasons. The spirit and the willingness to forgive increases as we grow in Christ. We attempt to be more like Jesus. So how do we express forgiveness? Well, we should forgive when others ask for it, and I think this particular point is sometimes used as a launching point for not forgiving people unless they do ask me. Because we can go back and look at the text in Luke 17 verses 3 and 4 where Jesus told his disciples that if your brother repents, then forgive him. And they'll say, that means unless they repent, I don't have to forgive them. It's not true. It's not what it means at all. We should forgive when somebody asks us to forgive. When a brother repents, or when a brother says, I repent, that's a good reason too. But the question here probably should be, can we forgive those who have not asked for it or repented? You know, it's true. As I said, we'll get to this point in a minute. It's true that God requires repentance before forgiveness. Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, these people were obeying the gospel. They were becoming Christians, and God required repentance because Peter said, repent and be baptized. So we know that's part of becoming a Christian. We know that repentance is necessary to remain a Christian. Acts 3 and verse 19, Peter says there, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So in order to have our sins blotted out or forgiven, we have to repent and be converted again to become a Christian. Paul really talked about Christians with his comparison to them and to the Hebrew people of the Old Testament in Acts 17:30, said, but when they had done all these things and worshipped idols and followed after false gods and so on and so forth, did all these things. He said, these times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So, you know, God does require repentance before forgiveness comes, but we need to remember we are not God. I'll say that again. And think about it. There are people who believe that Luke 17, verses 3 and 4 means that I don't have to forgive somebody unless they repent. And remember, God requires repentance, but we are not God. God is the only true judge. James tells us this in James 4, verses 11 and 12, where he says, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother judgeth his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? We are not God. You're not God. There's one person that's allowed to judge and condemn a soul to hell. And it ain't me. And it ain't you. See, God is perfect. He knows the hearts of men. But we as human beings are prone to misread and misjudge. We can be easily swayed because somebody did us wrong. We're mad about it. Oh, I'm mad about it. They keyed my car. Or they stole my money. Or whatever it might be. We get mad and we don't want to forgive somebody. That's the problem. God is perfect. He knows if somebody's repented. And ultimately, it is God who forgives the guilt of sin. You know, the only thing we can really give up, we can forgive people, but the only thing we can really give up is grudges. A lot of that needs to be done. Harboring grudges hurts ourselves, and it makes us embittered people. It makes us bitter people. Judges with grudges. We don't need to be that. We are to forgive as we pray, not necessarily wait till one repents. That's what Jesus said. As you stand praying, forgive. Mark 11. Don't say anything about waiting till somebody comes and repents. Jesus and Stephen forgave others who did not repent. Those people that were casting lots for Jesus' clothing, those Roman soldiers, didn't say, we're sorry we beat you. We're sorry we nailed you to the cross. Please forgive us. Those Jews that were stoning Stephen didn't ask for forgiveness. They stoned him to death. Those Roman soldiers put Christ to death. They were not penitent. And they didn't ask for forgiveness. But they were forgiven, Jesus and Stephen showed them. What about this? I'll forgive, but not forget. Well, it's a big one for a lot of people. It was for me for a long time. Henry Ward Beecher had this to say about it. I can forgive, but I cannot forget is only another way of saying I will not forgive. Forgiveness ought to be like a canceled note, torn in two and burned up so that it can never be shown against one. In other words, let go. Forgiveness is letting go of resentment. Remembering is not letting go. Remember, the word forgiveness means to let go. Just to let it go. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25 reads, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now that's God talking through the prophet Isaiah. It's what the Hebrew writer alludes to in Hebrews 8, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 8, verse 12, the Hebrew writer writes, therefore I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now that means he will forgive and forget. Hebrews 10, 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So see, found it in that particular book of the Bible two times. Those are allusions to what the prophet wrote in Isaiah 43:25. That God says, I will not only forgive, but I will forget as well. And we're supposed to be imitators of God in Christ. Say what? We're supposed to be imitators of God in Christ. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, Paul says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, or imitators. The word followers can also be translated as imitators, like children. I mean, you've got to be able to figure that out. Follower, children imitate their parents as dear children. We are to imitate our Heavenly Father. God says, I will forgive and forget. We're to be followers of God in Christ. Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Whew. Hard stuff, isn't it? Knowing my own imperfections, I prefer to err, if I'm going to err, on the side of being too forgiving, while I'm attempting to imitate God and Jesus. In conclusion, we've considered why it is so important to forgive others. Number one, to receive forgiveness from God, we must. Number two, to follow the example of Christ and his early disciples. Also, the things we've studied today confirm that the path of Christ is the way to life, love, joy, and peace. And it is a path where forgiveness is both received and extended by those who are on that path. Must be. Absolutely, positively has to be. That's why Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them so your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Remember Mark 11, verses 25 through 26. How about you today? Have you been forgiven of your sins against God? And that's what sins are. They are against God, first and foremost. If you haven't, that means that you haven't obeyed the gospel. And all you have to do, friend, to obey the gospel is to listen, give heed to God's word, hear it, and believe it is the truth. Repent of your sin because God requires it. Confess your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came and died in your stead that you might have eternal life through obedience to the word. And then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. That's obedience to the gospel. What the scriptures teach that that's how folks became Christians in the first century, and that's how you still become a Christian in the present century, the 21st century. How about you, Christian? Perhaps the lesson today carries a greater message for you than it does anyone else. Knowing that you must forgive in order to be forgiven is a big thing, isn't it? You've been unforgiving in your life and you've been holding grudges against people that you should not. Know this, that God is faithful and just to forgive your sins if you will confess your sins. You got to let go. You got to let go of sin. That's the trick right there. Let go of sin. Let God take it out of your life so you can live in joy and peace with the contemplation and anticipation of a heavenly home forever and ever. Today, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, or you need to be restored to the church, and you're within the sound of my voice, what are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation.